Congregation, the scripture reading is from the second book of Kings, chapter 4. We read the verses 1 through 7. And these verses form also the text for the sermon in this prayer service for crops and labor. That is 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. So far the reading of God's holy word and the words of our text. Beloved congregation, we have come here this evening in church to pray. But don't we always do that when we are in church? Yes, we do that. And that's a good thing. We need to do that. But now we have come together especially to pray for God's blessing upon our nation, upon the crops, upon the new harvest that we expect. And we come together to pray for God's blessing upon our work, and upon our whole congregation. We ask a blessing for material matters, but also for spiritual matters. We are fully dependent upon the Lord. And so it is a good matter to lay this before the Lord in a special service. For when we think about the plants and the crops, our daily work, we can ask the question, who gives rain and who causes plants to grow that we can eat? Well, boys and girls, you know this. It is all God's work. God gives the rain. God gives sunshine. And that's why we should not really complain when it rains, when we would rather have some sunshine. The Lord gives everything at his own time. And the Lord is faithful. And as we are here in church, we also confess that we do not deserve God's blessing. In the consistory before the service, it was mentioned that we are not better than the people of Ukraine. That we live in a free country is not because we deserve it. It is mercy. It's mercy alone. And that the Lord is good to us is only because of the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have come together to pray. And we do that by considering this beautiful account from 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7, a well-known event. We consider here the miracle of the oil of the widow. And we see her misery, her faith, and her deliverance. So we consider here the miracle of the oil of the widow. We see her misery, her faith and her deliverance. We see here in this portion of Scripture a woman who is very dependent. She needed help. And actually, we are also very dependent. We also need help. The woman in this portion of Scripture did something very good. She fled with her need to the prophet Elisha, because Elisha was a prophet of the Lord. And boys and girls, you know, it's a good thing to bring all your needs before the Lord. And the greatest need that we have is that we would receive a new heart. And what is a new heart? It's a heart in which God's Spirit lives, and that God's Spirit teaches us to love the Lord above all. And that we would learn to obey the Lord, that we would learn to believe and trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus for the full forgiveness of our sins, and that we would pray that our hearts and lives would be changed, that we would learn to die to sin, that we would learn to do the will of God. And that's the most important thing in life. It's more important than food and drink. Well, we see this history, this woman, she's in great distress. She's a widow. Her husband was one of the prophets. And that means that he proclaimed the word of God. And what else do we know about this husband? He feared the Lord. He desired to walk in God's commandments. He had holy awe for the Lord. He had learned to see himself as a sinner before God. He had embraced the Lord. And the Lord has opened his eyes for his lost condition and for the necessity that God would be glorified in our lives. And the result of this was that this prophet, this man of God, learned to fear God. What else do we know about this prophet? He had a God-fearing wife, because she fled to Elisha, the prophet of the Lord. She hoped upon God. She was a true widow, hoping upon God. And then she had blessed her marriage, or their marriage, with two sons. What else do we know about this prophet? One of the sons of the prophets, that means he was a prophet. Well, he was poor, and that's something that can easily happen. Most of God's children are not rich, and that's not something to be ashamed about, and certainly not in those days, because we must realize that these were the days when wicked Queen Jezebel was still governing. She was still in power. She was oppressing the people, and especially the servants of the Lord. During the reign of Ahab and Jezebel, terrible persecutions took place against the prophets of the Lord. They killed these prophets. And many of the prophets were deprived of their goods. Some had indeed lost their lives. To be poor in earthly goods is no evidence that the Lord has forsaken you. We see that here, in this example of this God-fearing person. And most of God's children are not rich. And what else do we know about this man? Well, he died. God took him into his glory. He entered into the joy of the Lord. But he left his wife and their two sons behind in poverty. He was unable to provide for them. He was a God-fearing man. He must have tried to do it, but he couldn't. And now his hope there had been set upon the Lord. He knew that the Lord would provide, that the Lord can open His hand and satisfy every living person. He knew that the Lord would have mercy upon his wife and their two children. But at first, it didn't appear to be like that, because the circumstances were quite grim. But the Lord would give deliverance. Because what happened was, this widow remained with her two sons. And from now on, she had to see how she could take care of her both sons. And she did everything she could to take care of these two boys. But the debts only increased. And then on a certain day, she gets a visitor. It's the creditor. She owes him a lot of money. And the creditor said, "Madam, you have to pay up. And if you cannot pay, then I will take both your sons and they can serve me as my servants, as my slaves. They will not get paid for their work, but by their labor they will slowly pay off the debt you owe me." As such, this system was allowed in the laws of Moses. In Leviticus 25, you can read about that. When people in Israel could not pay a debt, they could work for their creditor until their debts would be paid. Or that the year of Jubilee would have arrived. Once in the 50 years, there was a so-called year of Jubilee. Then everyone received his own ancestral inheritance back again. All the debts were annulled. All the Hebrew slaves had to go home. Then everyone started, as it were, over again. In this way, poverty and injustice would be kept and avoided from Israel. So here the creditor wants to take these two boys along as slaves. And then this woman, after having first lost her husband, would now also have to lose both of her sons. She was in great need. This must have been terrible for her. Of course, she had done what she could to try to alleviate the debts. She tried to take on side jobs, but it was all to no avail. And now her two sons will be taken away. And so in this great need, she fled to the Lord. Only God could now deliver her. There was no help to be expected from man. Nobody could help her. No relatives, no friends, none. There was only one way open, and that was the way to the Lord. And so she went to Elisha, because Elisha was the servant of the Lord. Elisha was something like a mediator between God and the people. He spoke the word of God. He had given deliverance before by God's grace, and so this widow fled to Elisha. And congregation, isn't it a fact that life can be difficult? That there can be great distress? You who are here in church may suffer some form of distress, or you who are at home listening along. You could not come here to church and to take care of children, but you're listening along, and there can be distress in life and hardships. There can be sorrow, hidden grief that you don't really talk about, that you don't always want to talk about, but it weighs upon you and it presses a person down. And at times it can be so difficult that you can only think about these hardships, these disappointments, these difficulties, these worries and concerns. And then you get up in the morning, and the weight is already laying upon you. And you go to bed, and the burden is still with you. Continually thinking about your distress. There can be problems in your family. There can be grief. There can be sorrow. Concerns about children. Concerns about loved ones. There can be sickness or diminished strength, physical strength that's going down. There can be problems at work. And so there can be distress in a person's life. But really, all these cares and needs, they will weigh upon us. And they can overshout other matters. That's true. That's how we are. It weighs upon us. But yet, there is still a greater concern, and that is the distress of our soul. That we are sold under sin. And in the midst of all concerns and problems we may have, let us not forget this greatest distress. We may not feel it to be a great distress, because the other needs of daily life, they press upon us. We wonder, how can I figure this out? How can I go on? What will the future bring? But don't forget the greatest distress, that God must be glorified in our lives, and that our lives must be hid with Christ in God. We need to be reconciled to God. Has this need become for you a great need? Actually, our heaviest burden. We may not feel it, but this is our heaviest burden. We need to have God's image granted to us. Because the time will come when God will ask us, where is my image? And you know, by nature, how we live is we do not live for God. We want to serve ourselves. But a life like that will be a disaster. Because by nature, I am under the wrath of God. And I must be reconciled to God. And now God gives me time on earth to find Him, to learn to trust in Him, and to regain God's image that He, through His Spirit, is willing to give. And so in all the distress we may have, lay it all before the Lord. But don't forget to lay the greatest need for all of us. That God must be glorified in my life. That I must be His child. I need His Holy Spirit to renew my heart. Has the Holy Spirit uncovered you and convicted you of your real distress? If that's the case, then you have a hunger and thirst after God and after righteousness. And you will then see sin in your life as the greatest distress. And then you will cry and pray. And you will flee to the one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And this name has become precious to you. Maybe you won't admit that. Because you feel you're so far away from Him. But He is your hope. Your refuge. Daily you flee to Him. And so you pray, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And you cannot stop crying to the Lord. Because the Lord is working in you. To cry to Him. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, we should not rest upon our crying or upon our prayers, but we should also not discard the work of God. We may not say the Lord is doing nothing while He is encouraging you and leading you to pray fervently daily for God in your life. Because you know then, God only can save you, so you cry out to Him. That's in fact what this poor widow was doing. In her great distress, there's only one way for her to go, and that's the Lord. And so, she flees to the servant of the Lord, Elisha. And so she says, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And a creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen, to be slaves." And so in simplicity, she lays her need before Elisha. She doesn't come with any solution, because she sees no solution. From her side, there's no expectation. We see before that her two sons will be sold into slavery, and then she has lost her both sons. We saw that before. And she cannot help herself anymore. And so, when the Lord shows you need in your life, then you may have first tried to improve yourself or to help yourself, especially if there's a spiritual need resting upon you, but also in our daily needs. We try to help ourselves, but we have our responsibility, that's true. But above all, we realize it's the Lord alone who can help us. And when matters from your side seem totally hopeless, let there still be hope upon the Lord. That's how it was with this widow. And so we see then also her faith, because she went in her distress to the right person. She goes to Elisha. And so we can say that Elisha, being a mediator, is actually a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the God-given mediator between God and men. He gives full salvation. And the Lord Jesus saves the soul that flees to Him. He gives His blood as a full reconciliation. He gives the life-giving Holy Spirit. He alone can save from sin. He can deliver from the devil's slavery. He can give full deliverance, also in daily concerns or troubles you may have. And calling upon the name of the Lord is a matter of faith. When you see no way out, then you will call upon someone of whom you believe that he can help me. Well, this widow had no human being to help her, so she called upon the name of the Lord. She believed that He could help her. Just like centuries after that, blind Bartimaeus called unto the Lord in the midst of the distress of his life, or like that woman with the issue of blood, she grasped the hem of the garment of Christ. She actually fled to Christ. And so many others in the Bible, but also throughout the history of the church, they have cried to the Lord from their great distress. And so this widow flees to Elisha. Where does the distress of our life bring us? I hope we turn to the Lord. Blessed when we see that we cannot help ourselves anymore. And in the midst of all our needs, we hope upon the living God for time and eternity. Can also be that in days of distress, we turn away from the Lord. And we say, "The Lord does not help me. The Lord does not hear me." And that's very wrong. And you end up in despair. And that's not what this woman does. This woman flees to the Lord in the midst of all her impossibilities. But you see, our impossibilities are God's opportunities. And so she casts herself down before the Lord as she flees to Elisha. And then Elisha asks her, what do you have in your home? Well, the only thing she has is a little flask with oil. This little flask of oil was intended to anoint one's body. It was really very small, insignificant. And then Elisha tells her, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and borrow not a few. So this woman receives a message, go out and borrow pots and pans from all her neighbors, as many as you can get. And they all had to be empty. What a strange request. It's quite something to tell a poor widow who has nothing to fill her house with empty pots and pans. But this was a matter of faith, for God's ways are higher than our ways. By faith, that widow had to go out, and she went out, and by faith, she knocked at her neighbor's door and asked for empty pots and pans because she believed God. She trusted in the living God. Imagine what this must have been for her. The people all know she's poor. She has nothing. And so she knocked on her next door neighbors and asked, ma'am, may I borrow some empty pots and pans from you? Please, as many as you can spare. And so she went from door to door. People must have looked very surprised, giving her empty clay pots and whatever they had in the house for pots and pans. What are you planning to do with all these empty pots and pans? Are you going to open a store? Well, for sure she must have been assaulted because she couldn't say anything. People around her must have tried to dissuade her. What are you doing? Getting all these empty pots. And her own heart must have been in tumult. But true faith perseveres in spite of affliction. Even if everything seems to go wrong and nothing makes sense anymore, she holds on to the word of God. Because faith does not look at human possibilities, but faith focuses upon God's strength. And that's how things are in spiritual life as well. When the soul goes out to Christ, then there are many voices in you to keep you away from Him. And those voices tell you to try to improve yourself. Or they tell you you're not qualified to come to Christ. You're too young or too old or too bad or too whatever. Too busy. There's always a little excuse not to flee to the Lord Jesus. Now I'm tired. Now it's not the time. You need to have more your heart set in tune to go to the Lord. I don't feel like it. Always objections to flee to Christ. And you can wonder, am I one of the elect? If I would not belong to the elect, well, what's the purpose of calling upon the name of the Lord? But reasoning by that is unbelief. Because the Lord doesn't address you as if you were elect or non-elect. The Lord addresses you as a sinner and tells you in your sins to call upon the name of the Lord. And those who call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. That's what we have to deal with. That's what we must focus upon, the Word of God, the Word of His promise. Or you hear a voice that your sins are way too much. You can't even pray properly. Or you've prayed so long and it helped, didn't help a thing, did it? God never heard you, so why not just give up and just hope for the best? But true faith will not stop. True faith perseveres. True faith does not even look at what has the Lord done so far in my life, what has He heard. No. True faith looks at God's Word and looks unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of faith. Your focus is not upon yourself, but upon Him. That's faith. And then you will fervently pray right against all those voices that tell you to stop. You will carry on. Because faith can be assaulted, but true faith will be persistent. And that's how it was with this widow. Elisha had told her something else. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy son, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Well, the widow did exactly what Elisha told her. A little flask, and all those empty pots and vessels. She came into her little house. She shut the door behind her. No snoopers allowed. This is private. And there she is, in a house, full of pots and pans everywhere. And she has this little flask of oil. She can hold it in her hand. And then the man of God told her to pour out. She grabs a pot, and then she pours, and pours, and pours, and pours, and pours. And it fills the whole pot. And she may have looked into that pot. Yeah, there's still some left. And she says to her one son, well, take this pot away and give me another empty pot. And it went on and on and on. The oil just kept on running. She must have been overwhelmed by this miracle. Maybe you know the account of what happened to Corrie ten Boom in Ravensbrück concentration camp. Some of you will know that. In World War II, what happened? Corrie was there with her sister Betsy. Betsy later on died in the camp, but Corrie was later on released because of an administrative error. She was let go as a fault, as an error. But while she was in the camp, she somehow was able to smuggle in a little flask with vitamin drops. And Corrie wanted to keep that for herself and her sister, Betsy. So every day they got a piece of dry bread, and she would put some drops of that vitamin on that bread, and she would also do that to Betsy. But then she saw all those emaciated faces around her staring at that little bottle. And then she couldn't resist. And they all received some drops of vitamins. It was a little brown bottle. And she wondered, how much is in here? She kept on giving few drops to every person, every day again. And sometimes she would hold up that little bottle against that one little bleak light, but she couldn't see what was in there. And every day she just went ahead and did it. But one day it stopped. It's empty. And that was the day when they received vitamin pills from the Red Cross. You see, the Lord cared. And so the Lord also cared for this widow. She received such a rich blessing. All those empty pots and pans filled with precious oil. And what does she now do? Does she say, well, now we're going to give some to the creditor and do this or that. No, she does nothing. She leaves the house, shuts the door, and goes back to Elisha. Because that oil is not hers. It belongs to the Lord. She knows very well the Lord gave this. And she doesn't dare take all this for herself. She has to tell Elisha. And she tells Elisha everything. And when there were no more empty pots, then the flask stopped. And I have all those pots with oil. And then Elisha answers her, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And so this widow could sell this precious oil, receive so much money, she could pay off all her debts. The Lord had given her such a glorious deliverance. And that's how things are in spiritual life as well. Those who are dependent upon the Lord, they cannot save themselves anymore. The Lord must intervene in their lives. And He is the God who hears. And the Holy Spirit applies Christ to your heart. And by faith you may look unto Christ and to His full sacrifice. The Lord Jesus is revealed to your heart. And there's joy in Christ. And the soul is filled with peace and love. And the soul learns to close with Christ. In Christ, the matters are resolved. You drop into the arms of Christ. And He removes your guilt and cleanses you from your sin. You are engrafted into Christ. And now you become fully dependent upon the Lord. And so we've seen this beautiful account of the widow with a flask of oil. Let's look at a few practical lessons from this narrative. We find here in the first place a beautiful example of faith. Faith does not look at the circumstances. Faith doesn't look at human impossibilities. Faith looks to the Lord, listens to His word. I will hope upon the Lord. That is faith. Do you know this faith in your life, in your distress, in your hardships? Do you exercise faith upon the Lord? The widow only had Elisha's word. You also have the word of God. She had to put all reasoning aside and lean upon God's word. And maybe it is to your estimation that you see no change in your circumstances, that everything remains the same. But that's how initially it was with this widow as well. But she obeyed in faith. And so you may also listen to His word, seek, and ye shall find. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And that does not only count for spiritual things, but also for daily temporal needs. The Lord gives deliverance, sure deliverance from daily needs. The older generations, I know examples, also of your first minister, Reverend Yetzer Hamstra, that he had a bakery. And at times there were dire circumstances. He had to pay his creditors. And he couldn't, and he cast his burden upon the Lord. And he saw miraculous deliverances. That the Lord cared also for daily needs. And I trust some of you may have had similar experiences. Because calling upon the Lord in trouble, that's what the older generation experienced in the Netherlands in the 30s. But also today that's still experienced. Because your heavenly Father knoweth that ye need these things. And therefore seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you, the things you need in daily life. And sometimes the Lord leads us in difficulties to keep us humble and lowly. Sometimes the Lord does give a certain cross, but then the Lord also gives strength that we can bear that cross. But in the greatest distress of being a sinner before God, the Lord will give redemption. It's his most delightful work that he will say to these needy people, I am thy salvation alone. But then there's also another practical lesson we can learn from this narrative. And that is, as long as there are empty vessels, the oil keeps on running. As long as there are empty vessels, the Lord is willing to fill them. We can think of our own life. As long as we bring our needs before the Lord is prepared to help and to give deliverance. But our problem is that we see so little of our need. We bring so few empty vessels before the Lord. Our misery is not that we see so much distress, but our misery is that we see so little distress. And that's why we need the uncovering work of God's Spirit. Because you see, the Lord is willing to give so much, but we don't believe Him. And we don't ask. Because we don't realize the many needs we have in daily life. We need food and drink, and the plants need to grow again, and the animals need food. Our work at school must be blessed. Our work in the shop or in the office needs God's blessing. Our children need to be kept, that they will not be drawn along into the world, that they will learn to fear the Lord in their youth. We have so many needs, and so we should lay these needs before the Lord, because He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. It's a blessing to become needy and poor before the Lord, to experience your dependence upon Him. Then you have empty vessels, and as long as there are empty vessels, the Lord is willing to fill them. And the third lesson here is that this widow received so much, she could pay off her debts and live with her sons of all that remained. The Lord cares also for daily life. He is willing to take care of our daily needs because the Lord is a benevolent God. Isn't that the case in many of your lives? How did you start off with your business many years ago? And how have things gone? How has your farm prospered? Or your business? Or your work? Many of us have been richly blessed because the Lord is a benevolent God. He cares for the needs of daily life. And you know, when He has saved you from an empty life and washed you from your sins, has entered your life and heart, He will also provide for all things you need in the daily matters of life. And so you may trust in Him and rest upon Him. So we see these three lessons. The miracle of faith. And that as long as there are empty vessels, the oil keeps on running. And that the Lord is a benevolent God, willing to give far above what we imagine. Amen. Shall we pray? It is a good thing for a person to pray. But Lord, we can only pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we again draw near to Thee to ask of Thee a blessing upon our labor, upon our crops, upon our schoolwork. And we pray Thee a blessing, Lord, upon our congregation, that Thou wilt work spiritual life. And that may there be many empty vessels amongst us. O, teach us to lay our needs before Thee, that we would be a praying congregation. O, we thank Thee for Thy loving kindness, for Thy mercy, for Thy goodness. Lord, we thank Thee how Thou hast delivered this poor widow so many centuries ago. And Thou, Lord Jesus, art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so with anticipation we look to Thee. Will Thou bless our congregation. Go with us into the future. We thank Thee for what Thou hast given in this service. Watch over us. Give traveling mercies where that is needed. And may we meet one another again. At the appointed time, watch over us, we pray. Will Thou grant remission of all our sins, and hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.